Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text that we meditate on today is drawn from that 62nd Psalm, verses 1 to 8. It may have been something profound, or it might have been something that you have done. But in any event, someone has taken you aside, maybe a teacher, a coach, a particular mentor, maybe a parent. Most likely, probably a parent has said to you, you need to go over there and sit a while and think about what you have done. Or maybe someone has said to you, I think we need to sit and think just a moment about what has just happened here. Sometimes forcibly, sometimes voluntarily, we're asked to evaluate, to think, to reflect, and then to learn. That's what lies behind an oftentimes repeated notation in the Psalms. You see it in the Psalms. If you could there, Kate, if you could flip one slide. If you look into the Psalms, you see this little notation off here to the side, and we never say it. It's not really meant to be said. It's a little notation left there in the Psalm, and if you were actually paying attention this morning, you might have noticed that it was there in the text twice. It's there in italics to make sure that we separate it from the text, and yet it is an important thing because it is believed to have been a reminder for the lead musician, maybe the choir director, perhaps a worship leader, and for the entire rest of the congregation to know that the psalmist wants us to stop and to reflect very carefully on what has just been said. And when we arrive this morning at this first one in our text today, David has given us a lot of food for thought. Somehow or another, he is under assault. He has enemies that surround him. Those who appear to be friends, maybe even family members, those who are close to him, secretly disown him. And because of that, immediately, scholars get to thinking about, well, when did that happen in David's life? Immediately, they settle upon when David's son Absalom is said to have stolen the hearts of the people of Israel. He would go to the city gate and he would stand there all day and he would tell the folks, anyone who would come by and listen to him, he would tell all the folks how much better their lives would be if only he were the king. Not his dad, but if only he were the king. And then after doing that for 4 years, after 4 years of spreading his lies and disinformation, after 4 years he was able to get a large enough mob and crowd together to declare himself king and to overthrow his father. Something like that. We're not exactly sure if that's the exact event, but something like that is clearly being described in this psalm, in this 62nd psalm. It's not some friendly competition like that was going on across the street. There, you know, people gather. Yes, they take sides and they root for one side or the other. But that's nice, friendly competition. Here we see something where people are out for blood. We see some sort of coup appearing to be in the works. At the very least, somebody is trying to topple David, maybe even take his life. And we're reminded in the words of our text here this morning that some people play exactly like that. Some people in life play for keeps. We know that the evil one does. We know that the evil one does, and not just with David. We know that the evil one assaulted the very Lord and Savior Jesus. And if he assaulted our Lord, we can better be sure that he is going to assault us with all kinds of troubles and trials that he pours into our life, all to get us to doubt God's goodness and his love for us. He troubles us with all kinds of sin and guilt that he piles into our life, that he gets us to do. And then as he gets our attention and our focus on all the guilt and all the things that we have done wrong, then he plants doubts. Doubts not just about God's love, but he gets us to question whether or not God's grace is big enough and wide enough and tall enough and deep enough to cover all of our sins. He would have us wondering to ourselves, have I done enough? Did I confess enough? Did I believe enough? Did I do enough? Salah. Think about that. Stop and consider how that is true. Stop and consider how that might be true of you. How that might be true of how you feel this morning as you sit here today and you contemplate what's going on in your life. But as you stop and think, don't think too long. Don't dwell on that too long. Don't let it overwhelm you, because there is another Salah that is coming. It comes at the end of verse 8. After repeating what was spoken in verses 1 and 2, David tells us about the honor and glory that are his. But it's honor and glory that are his, not because of anything that he has done, but it is glory and honor that is his because of what God has done. God, who is David's rock. God, who is David's salvation. And what is more, he would have you and me today and all of his readers know that the Lord is our rock and our salvation too. Trust in him, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge, not just for me, but for you, for us. In this respect, Psalm 62 is a little bit different from some of the other psalms that we see. Psalms usually are kind of lament-like. They pour out their guts. They spill out whatever it is that is going on in their life. And that is usually then followed by some sort of prayer and petition for God to intervene. Psalm 62 doesn't include such a prayer so much in the face of a challenging situation as a strong commendation, not a condemnation, but a strong commendation for us and to others who are listening to follow David's example and not be overwhelmed and not be overtaken, but instead to put our trust, to sink our trust and our reliance on the Lord, who is our rock and our salvation in the midst of that. David serves as a witness that would point us forward to the very same grace and rescue of our God. He's calling out to us from history and reminding us that we too have a good shepherd. We too can trust in our God. In a turbulent and frightening world, this is the gift that God has given to us. Listen to the Apostle Paul. He describes a harrowing journey of God's people where they found God to be exactly like that in their wilderness experience. From 1 Corinthians 10, I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them. And what was the spiritual rock that followed them and sustained them through flood and heat and scarcity and fear? Paul says this, and that rock was Christ. That rock was Christ. That rock is Christ. No doubt you've heard about many of the heroic rescues that have happened recently. Probably seen pictures and video that have come from all of those who have gone to extenuating lengths in order to rescue people who were trapped in Hurricane Florence. All the torrential rains that came and struck the East Coast. But there was a much greater storm than Florence or Harvey or any other storm of recent memory that you can think of. A storm of sin and death that completely engulfed humanity, where the greatest rescue of all was required. Jesus, as our rock and our salvation, didn't just put his life on the line to rescue us. Understand, he gave his life. He gave his life to come and to bear away all of that sin and that death, to bear away your guilt and all the things that pile into your life, to carry your sin and our death all the way to the cross. He not only, again, put his life on the line, he gave it. And then not only did he die, but he rose again in victory over it all, so that you and I have the confidence and the assurance of knowing that there is victory over all of this. that it could not hold Jesus in the grave. All the things that burden and bear down on us, all the things that put pressure on us, our sin and our guilt and our death, none of that could hold Jesus in the grave. He rose in victory over it all. And in Jesus, we stand before the Father to receive what he won. To receive it as David bids us to do today, in silence. To stand before the Father in silence, receiving, filled with awe, believing, and then telling of the great things that God has done for you. That's what the LWML, Lutheran Women's Missionary League, has been doing for 76 years. And that's why we take opportunity to step aside from our normal things and to recognize, at least this morning, the things that have been taking place because of the Lutheran Women's Missionary League, to celebrate and to give thanks to God for all the great things truly that he is doing through them. These women truly are Lutheran women who are in mission, supporting mission work nationally, internationally, locally. And they do so with their pennies and their nickels and their dimes and their quarters. They put them in these little boxes and they save them. I don't know if any of you save change, but man, if you ever do, you see just how quickly that... I had just a small little tin the other day. They've been putting coins and stuff in there for the last year. There were marbles and things. They didn't appreciate that at the bank. But anyway, they counted all of that in a matter of minutes. There was over $130 in there. Just from change, saved from the day. You know that 40 cents that you got in the bottom? These ladies save all of that. They bring it. They don't necessarily count it. They just bring it to the Lord. And all of those little pennies and nickels and dimes and quarters amounts to millions of dollars of mission money and support that is shared right here at home, that is shared around the world. But they don't just give their coins and their offerings. You see some of their work over there. You see, and that's just a little bit of it. On Thursdays, the ladies gather here and they don't just feed pastor, although I know that that might be the rumor. But they do gather together and visit and share and support each other and then make those beautiful quilts over there that are shared. Offerings of encouragement that are given to people who are in need. Many of you have been touched by their work. Many of you have supported some of their work. You know, I understand from around town, the funeral homes tell me that maybe I shouldn't say this, but very few churches do what we do here in offering a funeral meal to those who are in need, those who are grieving and hurting. Don't get any ideas, ladies. That's a great source of encouragement. And many of you help them to do that, to touch lives who are hurting, touch lives who are in need of rest, and who feel the comfort and the security that they provide, that you provide. We are encouraged today, my friends, to join them, to do what we can do right alongside of them. No one is asking you to become a missionary and go to a foreign country, although maybe your heart is being touched to do that today, and please listen to that. But there are so many littler things that we can do that still support and to share the good news of Jesus Christ, to bring comfort to those who are struggling with insecurity in this fast-changing world. We have a true rest to offer them in Jesus, who loves them, who came and gave himself for them. So let's live in this rest and let's share this rest. David did. David received from God's hands. David received from God a certain physical and emotional rest, a silence, a comfort, an assurance that nothing in this world could give. And you and I, we have the very same thing, even in this age, because our God is still our rock. And our Lord is still our salvation. He still loves us. He who sent his only Son to redeem us. Think about that for a while. Salah. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please take out the white card in front of you today. If you would, please fill that out. If you're visiting with us and want to know a little bit more about Christ Lutheran, you can ask your questions there. We'll be glad to get back with you. And as you do fill that out, especially if you're visiting with us today, we pass those to the middle aisle. They'll be picked up during the offering time. Please turn it over, though, before you do that. And we pray together the call to Christian fellowship on the back. Dear Father in heaven, we have gathered together in Christian fellowship to worship you. We have confessed our sins, and we thank you for your forgiveness. We've sung praises to you and listened to your holy word. Help us now to return to our homes and families filled with your Holy Spirit. Give us the courage to love others as you love us. And by our words and actions, make us your witnesses here on earth. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We gather our gifts for the Savior.